For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to another episode of the Falcoholic Live, episode 291. In fact, we're inching closer to episode 300 here on the program. I'm your host, Kevin Knight at Falcoholic Kevin, joined by my co-host, Adnan Ikic at Say Which Way. As always, Adnan, welcome back. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. And, you know, as you mentioned before the show, we're going to go, you know, full into dead zone off season talk, but we will try to disguise it as a, you know, very important conversation as we're so good at doing.
Well, to make it work, we have to have a critical topic, right? Something really important sounding, like who's going to make or break the Falcons offense in 2024. And we're going to get into that content with one of the masters of content himself, Aaron Freeman at Locked On Falcons on the Twitters. Aaron, welcome back. How are you doing?
Well, I feel like I've been led astray, guys, because I thought we were coming on to talk about the UFL signings at the Falcons,
where
we can spend an hour talking about Jared Jones-Smith and Prince Emili, but I guess we can talk about, you know, other things or whatever.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll save some room for the topic of the show. Mostly, we're here to talk about UFL signings. You know, thankfully, I wasn't expecting, you know, two. I thought we would have to fill the air with just the one. But luckily for us, we've got two UFL signings to talk about as well. So we should only have to stretch the show, you know, maybe 45 minutes or so after we get done with those UFL signings. But yeah, guys, we got some good stuff for you tonight. Obviously, we can't get through this episode without getting a bit of a take on, you know, the tampering. I did an episode about it like immediately after it dropped, but I'm curious to know what these guys think about it. Of course, we will also get into those aforementioned UFL signings, but also a little bit of cool stuff with Matt Ryan being inducted into the Ring of Honor. That was a really, really cool, really, really cool thing that we saw there with the Falcons kind of surprising him. And Matt Ryan, to his credit, you know, delivers a great speech talking about what it means to be a Falcon. Doesn't realize it's going to be his sort of accepted speech for the Ring of Honor. Very, very cool stuff. We'll talk about that too. And then, of course, we will be talking about the most important quote unquote players on the Falcons offense, but not necessarily like most important in terms of like, these are the guys that if they were to get hurt would be the most devastating for the season. It's more who are the guys that like we're really depending on, or the ones that have some question marks maybe, or the ones that we're sort of looking to have a big season, or like, you know, we're depending on them to take a step forward or so on. So we'll get into that tonight as well. Before we dive in fully, real quick, want to bring you guys a word from tonight's sponsor, BetOnline. Folks, you know, the NHL and the NBA championships have wrapped up pretty quickly. I think quicker than most people were expecting. You know, Boston got another sports championship, you know, But no matter what sport you're interested in, BetOnline still got your back and is the number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right up to all the top fights, UFC, MMA, and boxing. They've got every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And when the game's over, folks, you can head on over to BetOnline's new online casino. You can get in on a game of online blackjack. That's dangerous territory for me. Or poker, whatever you're interested in. They've also got the opportunity to unwind with one of their over 150 slots games. So what are you waiting for, folks? Head to that website today to get in on the action. Use that promo code BELIEVE. That's B-L-E-A-V. For your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. All right, folks, welcome in once again. Well, Aaron, you know, it sounds like you actually may have takes on these UFL signings. I was trying to, like, you know, do a little bit of research. The most I didn't watch much UFL this year. I kind of was like interested, and then I never really got around to it. But I know the defensive tackle did have 3 sacks and was one of the key players on the Brahmas defense this year. And then I know the offensive lineman was also, I think, named to the all UFL team. So Jared Smith Jones. So yeah, do you have any takes about these UFL players?
No, actually I don't, but
you just set me up for that. You just
well, I mean, all my takes are, you know, Jared Jones Smith went the
Jones Smith.
So yeah, I remember him vaguely, like, as like, oh, that other offensive lineman that has NFL talent on their team, because they had better guys on that offensive line, you know, but that was like 7 years ago. And so, you know, kudos to him for kicking around, you know, various pro leagues and the NFL for a couple of years. And I think probably the most intriguing thing about him is that he was in Miami briefly in 2019. And that's when Sean Flaherty, the Falcons assistant offensive line coach, was an offensive assistant there. So, you know, that trend of the Falcons adding players that they have familiarity with, the coaching staff continues with that. There's sort of that coaching connection. You sort of saw that last year with the Falcons scooping up Lakeil London from the then XFL, now UFL. And Lakeil London had spent some time in Chicago when Ryan Pace was the general manager there. So that sort of a similar thing. And all those XFL guys, including London, wound up making the practice squad last year. So I think that's probably the most intriguing thing, where some of these guys, you actually think like, oh, they're not just a guy that you bring to camp. These are guys that may have a legit chance to make the roster. Lakeil London obviously played really well last year when he got the opportunities, and may wind up starting this season at nose tackle, depending on what happens with Eddie Goldman at that spot. You know, we'll see what happens. I'm personally penciling Lakeil London in a start atop the nose tackle depth chart, just because I don't have any confidence that Eddie Goldman will suit up for the Falcons this year. And then the Prince Amili, the most notable thing of him was he had the most pressures of any interior D lineman in the UFL this past year. So, you know, the Falcons getting some help in the trenches, and that's probably where they could use some help. So I think other than that, like, no strong takes other than that, but, you know, just the previous point where it's like, I think normally we would just say like, oh, there's just camp bodies. But because we saw Lakeil London and Barry Wesley and Lucas Dennis actually, you know, do good things last summer, like, I think there's a decent chance that these two guys are not guys that you should just automatically write off as just, oh, they're camp bodies and they'll automatically get cut.
Yeah, I agree. I think the UFL guys are pretty interesting. You know, we'll see. Like, Lucas Dennis might even have a chance to make the roster. That fourth safety spot's pretty much up for grabs with the fifth one if they do keep five. So I'm interested to see what happens with these guys too. They just keep adding more interior defensive linemen. It's like, how many do you need? There's like 12 on the roster. It's like, how many could we possibly have? But there's exactly 12 on the roster actually. So, you know, they are probably keeping like 5 to 6. So, you know, this is going to be a bloodbath, obviously, in terms of who actually makes the roster. But I think we're going to have a good interior. I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, the pass rush is the worst it's ever been. Well, maybe the edge group is the most, you know, sketchy it's been in a while, and or unproven, maybe we should say. The interior is not like that. The interior is kind of the opposite of that, where they've just kind of loaded up from top to bottom, and we'll see who comes out on top in that group. But I'm definitely interested to see. And you can never get upset about offensive line signings. You know, it's always nice to add depth and competition there. And, you know, Jones Smith has played a while and could be a potential guy in terms of his ability to come in and maybe provide some depth or practice squad type stuff. Adnan, do you got any UFL takes, or should we move on to some tampering talk?
I mean, we definitely, it is cool seeing, and it's one of Terry Fontenot's trademarks of looking at more unorthodox and non-conventional measures to, you know, bolster up the depth of this team. You know, Aaron mentioned Lakeil London. Remember D. Alford, too, a couple of years ago. I think they brought him in from the CFL. So, I mean, it's cool that the Falcons seem to be one of those, like, destinations for these guys that are, you know, UFL, CFL, like, these unconventional, like, means to where it's like, all right, the Falcons are sort of building up an avenue, opening an avenue for you to, you know, come compete and, you know, possibly even make the 53-man roster. But other than that, I don't have any takes on these individual players. You know, sue me, it's June. Like, you know, sorry.
Wow. I expected like a 2,000 word scouting report, and this is what I get. You know, wow. I can't believe this. No, it's totally fine. I'm impressed Aaron looked up the coaching connection there. That's actually a decent chunk of work you did. So props to Aaron for that one. But yeah, let's get to the tampering, because I know that's what was on everyone's minds, mostly on one person's mind, it seems. I think you guys know who I'm talking about. That was quite a display from Mike Florio on his utter I don't know if it's a bit or like if he's actually enraged at this, but
made too big of an ass of himself for that to be a bit.
Man, it's some wild stuff. So you guys know I talked about it on Friday's show, but the Falcons were docked a 2025 fifth round pick for tampering, but it wasn't really tampering because it occurred during legal tampering, and it actually occurred after the deals had been agreed upon in principle. So they, I guess the NFL found them guilty of improper contact is probably the more correct way to say it, where the Falcons basically had their staff coordinate logistics for the players to fly and move to Atlanta and that sort of stuff before legal tampering was over. And the rule is that you can't have direct contact with the player, period, until the deal has been like actually signed after legal tampering. So that was all they were charged with. That's all they were found guilty of. So when people continue to say on Twitter that the Falcons were tampering and there was all this cheating and how could they get away, it's like, I don't know if they're being intentionally deceptive or if they just didn't bother to read what they actually were accused of. But I mean, to me, it seems like the fifth round pick is even maybe a little too much. I mean, it's hard to get too upset. It's a fifth round pick, but I mean, Aaron, I'm curious what you think about the whole tampering situation. And that's, it seems like the only one really talking about it still is Mike Florio. So
I haven't been paying any attention to what Mike Florio has been saying. So
very wise. Yeah.
I feel like I've dodged that bullet, fortunately, seeing someone have a meltdown. I've just sort of seen everybody else reacting to what he's saying from afar. So I'm just like, all right, I'm glad I'm not having to worry about this. This is information that does not need to be in my brain. I think the tampering, or, you know, it was a weird situation. I don't really have a strong opinion. I was like, okay, like fifth round pick. Hey, I'll take it. It's fine. Like, I thought it was going to be a third or something like that. So, hey, great. Fifth round pick, you know, special teams guy, I guess. We'll just have to, you know, just really, you know, dig deep on the UFL players or whatever to compensate for the loss of that draft pick. So, I don't have a strong take. You know, it seemed like at some point the Falcons would get punished for whatever they did. You know, I guess, do you think what they did was wrong? I'm sure most people, you know, that are Falcon fans don't think that's the case. I'm sure Mike Florio and others feel like, you know, there was something more nefarious going on behind the scenes. I guess, I don't know. But yeah, it's just like, you know, I think the league, I think it's fair to question, like, once you agree to terms with a player, like, shouldn't you be able to talk to them about being able to come into the building at that point in time? Apparently you can't, you're not allowed to do that, you know, but you know, I don't know what the process is. You know, maybe Rich McKay can do some good and get on the competition committee and, you know, change the rules or something like that. But yeah, I don't really have a strong take about it. It's like, okay, fifth round pick. All right. Anyway, moving on, now that saga is over, it's like, let's get to actual football that actually matters and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's all very silly, especially now that we know that, like, because I think, like, I was bracing for, like, oh, it's probably worse than we think. There's probably something, they did something more than what was led on, and, like, we're going to find out that it was worse, and it's going to be, like, a third-round pick.
They were sending a spy up to Minnesota to talk to Kirk Cousins in the middle of the season last year.
They were trying to hire Kevin O'Connell out from under the Vikings. You
know? He was on Arthur Blank's yacht back in December.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, somebody was on the dream boat, you know. It wasn't just Bill Belichick, you know. But, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's ridiculous. It's nothing like the Dolphins situation. Like, I people are like, oh, well, the Dolphins got docked a first and a third. Why are the Falcons getting off so easy? Like, it's not even remotely similar. Like, did you look into what the Dolphins did at all? Because it was pretty extensive. Like, I mean, I feel like there were tons of there was tons of great reporting done on what the Dolphins did, which was like a years-long concerted campaign to tamper with a player that was actively under contract with another team and a coach that was not actively coaching but was technically still under contact with his team. For like multiple years this went on, and like, you know, like, so that, and they were also accused of the whole tanking thing with Flores and all that, and you know, it was like a whole thing. And so like, I just don't know how you can not be disingenuous when you are like questioning why the Dolphins were punished more for what they did than the Falcons, who booked flights for players after they had already agreed to terms during legal tampering. Now, I don't know why you can't just sign players and be done with it in legal tampering. Like, maybe that's the solution. You just, when they agree to terms, you just sign the deal. They don't have to wait another day, because it's like, how often do players back out of the deals and legal like, I think it's happened like a couple times. I mean, not super often. So I mean, it's just wild stuff to me to see the uproar. Well, you know, not a lot of uproar, just a little bit of uproar from one particular person, but just funny how it's like, oh, you, it just, I was just waiting to dunk on someone for like this belief that the Falcons were going to have to send a first round pick to the Vikings for like their transgressions. And it's like, you can, you know, enjoy this fan fiction, I guess. So
I mean, Florio is literally lobbying for that of they should just change or like you know, exchange first round picks, you know, Falcons get a lot of, like
yeah.
I don't know why people thought that the Vikings were gonna get literally anything. And it was a lot of Vikings fans that were just doing some victory laps. But I mean, I guess that's just, you know, the nature of the internet, of someone said something about or someone made up this scenario of, oh, like, we're gonna get their pick, and then everyone just like, you know, sort of bought into it and started spreading it. I mean, on beforehand, before I knew what it was, I was like, all right, like, you know, what did they do? Like, are we gonna lose like a third? I would have been worried about losing a second or third depending on what was gonna happen. Now that I like know what happened, I'm like, even a fifth seems a bit extreme. Like, a fifth even seems a bit harsh for this, because it's like, you're telling me that this happened after we got the Schefter like report that Kirk Cousins had agreed to terms, and then like after that the Falcons did something? It's like, all right, like, that's, you know, the Falcons actually made out pretty poorly given what happened. And then, you know, it was very funny seeing Florio just lose his mind, because I'm not gonna lie, I thought it would be like, you know, maybe a tweet or like, you know, maybe an article, but then like he just
it's like eight tweets. It was crazy.
He had like eight tweets over the course of like 2 hours, just like melting down over this. And it's like, dude, like, you know, get a life.
Please stop. It's okay. It's
like, at some point I started suffering from secondhand embarrassment. It's like, you know, what happened to Shane?
I don't know, have you ever melted down like that on Twitter? I have a couple of times. So, you know, about just Parker Hesse getting cut.
That was understandable, though. I understand that one fully. I mean, I know he was your boy. So
yeah, I melted down the night the Hawks drafted and traded Luka Doncic.
Okay.
So I had like five or six tweets that I ended up going back and deleting. That's nowhere to be found on the internet now.
Yeah, that they never existed. You know, once you delete something on the internet, it's gone forever. You can never be reproduced. Never. At least that's what we tell ourselves. But yeah, it's, the whole thing is ultimately very silly, especially now in hindsight. So we'll just, you know, we'll gloss over that. But ultimately, relatively minor penalty. I mean, the mock drafts are going to suffer without that fifth. You know, we'll power through it like we always do. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if the Falcons flip somebody like midseason for an extra day three pick to sort of compensate for that. We've seen them do that kind of stuff before. But yeah, it's much ado about nothing is kind of what it feels like. I'm really glad it's over. I'm really glad that the Vikings fans that were just, you know, like, oh, well, the, you know, the Cardinals and the Eagles swapped picks or whatever. You know, it's like that was a settlement that the teams agreed on. Like, they agreed to do that. Like, so, you know, That's different. Like, that's not the league enforcing some kind of pick swap. That's like the two teams agreed to settle something, and the league was like, okay, that's fine. It makes it easy for us to not have to do anything. And they did it. And, you know, it ridiculousness all around. But yeah, that's the, I'm glad that saga is over. I definitely was tired of talking about it. So ready to move on from that one to our topic of the evening, which is, of course, the make or break players for the Falcons offense this year, which I don't think anyone's had expectations this high for the Falcons offense in like, you know, I mean, I know we had high hopes for Arthur Smith's offense, but I think there was always a necessary amount of like skepticism also because of the quarterback situation. Whereas this year, I feel like that roadblock has kind of been taken away. So now it's just like much higher expectations from top to bottom. Obviously, I think people are excited to see what Zach Robinson can do. We should, you know, caution that this is his first time as a full-time play caller outside of like a few preseason games or whatever. So, you know, it could be a very, you know, hopefully it'll go well, I guess is what I'm saying. But if it does go well, the players we're going to talk about tonight are the ones that are going to make it happen. And, you know, I've got quite a few that I can talk about. So I'll open the floor first to our guest, Aaron Freeman. Aaron, who do you want to start with? Who's your top or at least the most interesting make or break player for this Falcons offense that you want to talk about?
Well, you know, all offseason long, it's been talking about Drake London and how he's going to be kind of the focus of the passing attack. And you know, when you look at, you know, Zach Robinson coming from that Ram system and, you know, one of the hallmarks of a Sean McVay offense that is, you know, maybe not so much a hallmark of the Arthur Smith offense is being able to consistently get the ball into the hands of your top playmakers, whether that was Todd Gurley or Cooper Kupp or Puka Nacua or Robert Woods over the years in LA. And when you look at this Falcons offense, you look at the sort of big three and Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts and Drake London. But I do feel like because of how much more passing we'll probably see the Falcons do. And I don't think the Falcons are going to be this super heavy passing attack that I think some people are expecting to be, like what Minnesota has been the last couple of years, where they're, you know, basically throwing it 700 times a year. But you're going to see them lean heavily on the passing attack. And I do feel like Drake London kind of needs to be sort of what Puka Nacua was for the Rams or what Cooper Kupp has been in previous years, which is that guy that's getting, you know, 10 plus targets a game pretty consistently. And the offense is kind of running through him as that primary weapon. And we really haven't seen that in Atlanta since Julio's time here, where it was like everybody knew in the stadium, whether you're a Falcon fan or a fan of the opposing team or a coach or a player on the field on either team, you knew who was getting the ball pretty consistently and you were pretty much powerless to stop it. And I think that's going to be the intriguing thing about Drake London, because I don't think most people think he has the same talent level as Julio Jones, but that's where the Zach Robinson of it all kind of figures into, where can Zach Robinson elevate Drake London's game so that even if he's not as talented as Julio is, can he be as productive as Julio was at various points and be as productive as guys like Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua have been in recent years. So to me, it's, you know, the when we talk about make or break seasons, like if they can't get that type of year out of Drake London, it's really hard for me to see the Falcons passing attack hitting the heights that they want to reach if Drake London isn't that guy.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
No, I think that makes a ton of sense, because this team, like, they do desperately need that alpha playmaker. And I think, like, you've seen the flashes of Drake London being that guy, and you feel like he's been held back. I mean, other than maybe Kyle Pitts, I don't think anyone's been as held back by the quarterback situation than Drake London. I think Drake London was able to handle it better. And also him not being, like, healthy, obviously, with Kyle Pitts not being healthy, did have something to do with that, too. But it just seemed like for how much emphasis Arthur Smith placed on, like, acquiring Kyle Pitts by taking him fourth overall in front of a quarterback, that you would have thought there would have been, like, a clearer role for him or a better idea about how to best utilize him. And I feel like that never really came to fruition. I mean, I think certainly that first year we saw it, and even that role, I think, was, you know, Kyle Pitts was playing a lot as a deep threat and it worked out really well and all that stuff. But outside of that, it just never seemed like the emphasis was placed on Pitts as much as it should have been. But as soon as Drake London got here, it seemed like Smith was like, okay, Drake London's the guy. He's going to be our guy basically from the moment he stepped in the building. And, I think last year he did the best that he could under the circumstances. But I agree with you that, like, there's no more, like, roadblocks for any of these guys. And I'm sure we'll talk about more of these receiving options too. But, like, with Kirk Cousins here, Drake London's got to be the guy for Kirk Cousins because he's the one that's the most proven and needs to be the target hog. You know, they need a target hog. And like you said, I think London's the one with the best skill set to do that. You know, he can do it all to some extent. He's durable. He's a good blocker. He checks all the boxes, you know, because that was one thing that I think people underappreciated about Puka was that he came in as a rookie and just crushed it as a blocker. Like, that was one of his big strengths, and that allowed the Rams to keep extra tight ends off the field. So that's interesting. I like that one to start with for sure. I think he's one of the most critical players on this offense without a doubt. Adnan, what do you think about Drake London?
I mean, yeah, Drake London is going to be in that Puka role. He's going to be in that, you know, role where he was a top 10 overall pick. He was the eighth overall pick, or top 10 pick in the draft, eighth overall pick. And now it's like, all right, you're going to get every single opportunity to prove this draft pedigree. And, I mean, yeah, we saw the flashes last year. I mean, my mind goes back to that Tampa Bay game where he had, what, 140 yards or something like insane, including some really, really, you know, amazing catches where he almost carried the Falcons to a victory. And I do think the Falcons would have gotten a victory if not for some, you know, self-inflicted gunshot wounds where, you know, that's another story. But the fact that Drake London, you know, still had those flashes despite the limitations in the passing game and despite the fact that this team really wanted to be, you know, more of a run-heavy team and not just wanted to be, but needed to be more of a run-heavy team because of those limitations in the passing game. You know, I feel like it bodes well, and it's going to be one of those situations where, you know, I feel like it's going to be a breath of fresh air for Drake London this year, catching passes from Kirk Cousins. We saw Kirk Cousins, you know, support a few monster seasons from Justin Jefferson. I'm not saying Drake is as good as JJ, but I do think that Cousins will sort of lock onto him as that primary target, the way that he, you know, locked on to Justin Jefferson over in Minnesota. And I think he will be able to support him as, you know, a straight breakout wide receiver, the way that he supported Justin Jefferson over the past few years. So I'm expecting a really, really good season for Drake London. I mean, like 1,300 plus yards, and that even may be a conservative estimate, you know, as of June. As ridiculous as that sounds, the Falcons haven't had a 1,300-yard receiver since Julio, and I do feel like we did take it for granted, that run from Julio, what, having 1,400 yards, what, six, seven straight years. I think it came to a halt by like 8 yards against the Bucks in 2018 or 2019 or something like that. But yeah, I do feel like we will see some of those shades of Julio, even though, like Aaron said, you know, he's not as talented as Julio, but I feel like the production, you know, can reach not the peak of Julio production, but some of those, you know, more mid-tier Julio seasons, which are still, you know, near all
elite seasons for like 90% of the NFL. Yeah. No, I totally agree with you there. I think that's a good one. And who would your guy be that you think is one of the make or break guys this year?
I feel like I'm going to cheat with this because I'm looking at the offensive line. We have talked and the fan base has talked about, all right, the Falcons last year were so limited by the quarterback and, you know, obviously limited by the coaching scheme. So we've replaced the coaching scheme. You know, it's going to be brand new with Robinson versus Arthur Smith's play calling. And we, of course, upgraded the quarterback position. Kirk Cousins is going to be a massive upgrade over Desmond Ridder. You know, saying Kirk Cousins actually is low-hanging fruit in this exercise, even though, you know, obviously quarterback.
We'll probably get to it at some point. Yeah, but
but the thing about it that we haven't really – that we sort of take for granted a little bit is the fact that this offensive line each of the last two seasons has been elite. Like, it has been – you know, it was graded out by PFF as a top five O-line in 2022 and 2023. My thing is making sure that the offensive line doesn't regress too much, because those assumptions that I just talked about, quarterback, play caller equaling, you know, heights that we can't imagine, you know, those are just assuming that the offensive line is going to stay as good as it was. And the thing about Arthur Smith is, you know, even though there were a lot of issues with the scheme, what he did sort of did cover for the weaknesses of the offensive line to the point where, you know, Drew Dahlman and Caleb McGarry, who are the two guys that I'm going to talk about right now, they're much better run blockers than they are pass protectors. And, you know, they were sort of allowed to be, I don't want to say hidden, but the Falcons definitely played a lot more to their strengths over the past couple of years. And, you know, they looked really, really good as a result. McGarry got that contract. Drew Dahlman was a top three graded center by PFF because of the work he did in the run game. And, I mean, like Aaron said, the Falcons, even though they won't be this, you know, sling air raid type offense, they're going to pass the ball more than they have over the past few years. And it's going to be up to these offensive linemen to step up in, you know, in the pass blocking game to really sort of give Cousins that time and, you know, just to sort of help take that offense to the next level. And I mean, I trust Chris Lindstrom. He's the best guard in the NFL. Jake Matthews, I think, still has some good time left. You know, I'm a believer in Matthew Bergeron. I think he definitely passes the eye test. Drew Dahlman and Caleb McGarry, for me, they've answered every question regarding their run blocking. So now it's going to be, all right, we're going to be passing the ball more. We're going to have, you know, a lot more 11 personnel out there and not as many tight ends out there for the most part. It's going to be up to these guys to really sort of take that pass protection to the next level to ensure that even if this offensive line does regress, it cannot crater. And it cannot, you know, we can't go from a top five O-line to the 20th ranked offensive line. If that happens, then it's going to be a hard dose of reality, given the fact that we didn't really make any changes along the offensive line other than maybe some depth moves that we're going to see play out in training camp.
Yeah, no, I think those two guys are absolutely critical ones to talk about for sure. Yeah, I mean, Aaron, what do you think about Drew Dahlman and Caleb McGarry? I mean, their roles are definitely going to be, at least the pass protection roles are going to be more emphasized now, even though I agree with what Anand said. We're not going to see this team become like a pass heavy team overnight. Like, it's still, the Rams were still pretty balanced. I mean, I think people think of the Rams as this 11 heavy team and they think that they like were this pass heavy team. They weren't. They were actually just 25th in like run pass split or pass run split. They only passed the ball 58% of the time, still ran it, you know, over 40% of the time. And they were just, I think, minus 2.8 in terms of pass rate over expectation, which was 21st. So they were still one of the more run heavy teams, you know, much closer to balance than the Falcons were. The Falcons were, of course, 32nd in the NFL and pass rate over expectation at like minus 10%. But yeah, what do you think about Drew Dahlman and Caleb McGarry going into 2024?
Yeah, I think with Dahlman, the thing that stands out is, you know, this is a contract year for him. And, you know, is he going to get that payday like Caleb McGarry got, you know, 2 years ago? Moving forward, I, you know, in general, I feel pretty good about those two guys. But I do share some of Adnan's concerns about Arthur Smith, you know, leaning real heavy on the play action passing game to make it easier for those guys throughout the last couple of seasons. And if we get into situations where the run game isn't working or the Falcons are playing from behind and offenses are the Falcons become a lot more one-dimensional, will those guys hold up in those situations, especially against some of the better defenses that they're going to face this year? And so I think the offensive line, while they have consistently played at a high level, especially in the second halves of season, I think the issue with them is they can't get off to the slow start that I think they got last year, where some of their worst games were basically in like September, where, you know, individual defensive players like Aiden Hutchinson and Derek Brown and Brian Burns and others were able to kind of take over games a lot in the first half of last year. And with the schedule that the Falcons have, you know, going up at the Steelers with TJ Watt and Eagles with Jalen Carter and the Chiefs with Chris Jones and all those guys, you know, you can't have those guys wreaking the havoc on the offensive line like some of the guys did last year. So I think that's going to be the big test for this offensive line. It's just, can they pick up where they left off rather than what we've seen the last couple of years where they kind of start slow and they kind of ease their way. And then by the second half of the season, they're playing their best football. Like, we kind of need them to play their best football in the first half of the season and then continue to play their best football in the second half of the season. But on the offensive line, you know, I think my probably make or break guy is probably more Matthew Bergeron than it is Udomin or Caleb Gary.
That's what I was going to say too.
Just because I think, you know, while Caleb McGarry and Drew Dolman are proven run blockers and questionable pass protectors, I think Bergeron, at least in his rookie season, was kind of the opposite, although the pass protection was an issue at times. But like the run blocking, I don't think was quite to the level it needed to be. And that led to the Falcons run game not being as effective. You know, the old meme of they can only run right because they're running behind Lindstrom and McGarry and they can't run left. And that was kind of a legit issue last year. But I am a long resident of Caleb McGarry Island. So I feel like he's fine. He just, like, he just, when he gets beat, like, it's just the worst thing you've ever seen in your life. And you just like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. And then it's like, that's the thing. Like, Caleb McGarry probably had like 5 bad games last year. And then the other like 8 or however many games he played, like, he was fine. Like, you didn't notice him, you didn't, you know, it was he was doing his job. And like, that's, you know, we've talked about this a ton on this show and other shows over the years. It's like, that's the knock on Caleb McGarry, which is like the inconsistency, where you don't have the sort of same level of consistency that you would like at that position. And so that to me is remains the question. It's been the question with Caleb McGarry for like 2 years. It's like, are we going to see a more and I feel like he gets incrementally better each year, gets like a step there, but like, we just want to see that bigger leap to being like, oh, now he's legit consistent and maybe only has 2 bad games or whatever, probably against TJ Watt and Max Crosby. But, you know, we'll see. Good luck. Good luck, Caleb. But, you know, I think like, he's getting there. It's just not at the rapid pace that I think a lot of people would like it to be.
Yeah, and I always come back to like, if Caleb McGarry had been like the 3rd round pick that I had the 3rd round grade on, I think a lot of people did too. Like, if he had been a 3rd round pick, I think everyone would be like, he's like surpassed expectations. He's a good solid starter for a 3rd round pick. That's great value. Like, offensive tackles are hard to find and so on. But because they traded up for him in the 1st round, everyone's like, oh, well, now he needs to be Jake Matthews or it's a waste of a pick. And like, that's not necessarily fair to him, but also like, they did trade up for him and take him in the 1st round. So that, you know, it's the team's fault for putting those expectations on him. But yeah, he's not as bad as a lot of people think. And I think last year his season wasn't as bad as people think either. I mean, I think honestly it was one of his stronger pass protecting seasons overall. It just, you're exactly right. Like, when he gets beat, he gets beat bad. But it's like, if you're having your bad games against TJ Watt and, you know, Max Crosby, it's like, well, a lot of people have their bad games against those guys. If you can just have good games against everyone else, then you're going to be a pretty good offensive tackle. So, you know, we'll see how he develops. But I definitely agree. My guy I was going to go to stay on the offensive line topic was Matthew Bergeron, because like, I think Bergeron was absolutely fine as a rookie. I mean, it wasn't overly impressive, but for a rookie who's making a position change, you're just looking for him not to like bring down your offensive line or be a net negative. You know, if you want to see an example of someone sort of not necessarily reaching the level of Bergeron as a rookie. Like, you could just look at the Bucks and see Cody Mock, who I know we have a lot of Cody Mock fans on here. Cody Mock struggled a lot more than Bergeron did last year. And it was honestly thrust into a relatively similar situation in Tampa Bay. I think Bergeron handled it better, and I think Bergeron was much more consistent, even though he was never, like, having these amazing games. He had, like, a couple, I think, that were pretty good. But for the most part, he was stable as, like, a solid starter offensive lineman. And that, I think for a rookie, that's pretty impressive. But the Falcons need him to take the next step this year. They're really, I think, depending on him to do that. And they don't need him to become a Pro Bowler, but they need him to be more like, you know, he was like a 60 PFF grade. They probably need him to be more like a 70 this year. And if he does take that step and the rest of the line doesn't fall apart, I think this is like a top five offensive line. And I think, like you were saying, I think Bergeron as a pass blocker has a lot of upside. I think as a run blocker, he could be a lot better too. But I think he has shown a lot of potential. And I think Bergeron is like a key piece of their plans going forward too. And I think this ties into even, you know, what's going on with Caleb McGarry and all that, because if Caleb McGarry isn't what the Falcons need at right tackle, they have a lot of decisions ahead starting next year at that position. Do they draft another tackle high? Do they move on from McGarry because of the cap savings? Do they move Matthew Bergeron back to tackle? Because I still think that's on the table if Caleb McGarry falters. I think they would love to just leave Bergeron at left guard and just keep things as they are as long as possible. But if Caleb McGarry doesn't cut it and you got to make a financial decision there, you know, I don't think people should rule out that Bergeron could go back to playing tackle, especially after having a couple of years to acclimate to the NFL first. So we'll see. But I do think this year is key for Bergeron, because I think if he plays really, really well, it'll obviously help the offense this year, but it could give the team confidence in him going forward that could allow them to be flexible with, you know, if they're picking in the late 20s, like we all hope, and they need to find a new right tackle, it's pretty hard to find a great starting tackle in the late 20s. It's a lot easier to find an interior offensive lineman in the late 20s if you want to go that route. So just keep that in the back pocket, you know, for next draft season. We're not going to get into that yet. We got a lot of games to get through before we start the draft takes, please.
You can't help yourself, Kevin.
I can't. I can't. It's just, I'm sick. I'm a sick man. I don't know what to say. But,
put together your mock draft already. And
I'm just, the wheels are turning, you know. But what do you think about Bergeron, on how important do you think he is to how this goes this year?
I mean, yeah, the entire unit's going to be really important. It's one of those things where, yeah, it was a good rookie year. I don't know. I really like Bergeron. I'm sort of, yeah, I get it. He was a rookie last year. I'm sort of a little bit bought in on him. Like, I'm not saying, oh, he's going to be the next, like, you know, amazing superstar, but I give a lot of credit, and, you know, just being a rookie and just being able to hold your own the way that Matthew Bergeron did last year. Like, you know, obviously he's not like on Chris Lindstrom's level. He's not he's not on Jake Matthews' level. These guys have been doing this for a long time. But, you know, I think Matthew Bergeron, given this consistency, given what we saw last year, given what we saw from him over at Stanford, you know, shout out Kevin to Stanford. I'm really confident in Matthew Bergeron just taking another large step next year and really sort of, you know, solidifying what will hopefully be a very, very powerful guard duo for the Falcons for years to come. And I mean, obviously, you know, the entire unit, like I said, you know, I do think that next year, again, I'm getting ahead of myself, but next year in the draft, you know, tackle should be one of those priority positions to go after. I mean, I was banging the drum for Joe Alt for months leading up to this draft. And, you know, I did it under the reasoning of I want to be more proactive than reactive when it comes to Jake Matthews. When he, you know, I don't want to wait for him to, you know, completely slow down before we address the tackle position. And, you know, now the Falcons' long-term quarterback is going to be a lefty. So, you know, right tackle will matter more to the Falcons and to the Dolphins than any other NFL team. And, you know, we'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we get to the draft next year. But yeah, it's It is kind of hard to not talk about the draft.
Yeah, you know, we've just been programmed, you know, that we're going to have to talk about it really soon. So hopefully this year we'll be different. We won't have to talk about that too soon. But yeah, I mean, the one guy I would definitely add, it's low-hanging fruit for sure, but it's got to be Kyle Pitts, right? Because we've been waiting to see Kyle Pitts, like, really take ever since that rookie year. And that rookie year was very nice, don't get me wrong. Obviously, we wanted more touchdowns, but, like, you know, it was great to see him have a strong start. And then, obviously, the regression at quarterback, the injury, it's been a rough couple years for Kyle Pitts. But I think, you know, it's shaping up. He's got the quarterback. The rest of the offense should be able to support him. He doesn't have to come in and be, like, the guy necessarily. He can be more of a complimentary piece. And, like, it could lead to the Falcons really having a very versatile and, like, strong passing attack, because they've got, you know, Drake London. They signed Darnell Mooney to be, you know, another primary receiver, whether that's outside or in the slot. He's played both extensively in his career. And now Kyle Pitts is that other guy, that third main target in the passing game. And, you know, the Rams, what, you know, people, again, this is part of the conversation about, you know, are they going to be pass heavy or run heavy? People might remember the Rams with Kyron Williams and like how effective he was from a fantasy and real life standpoint.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
The Rams, like, what they did, it's not, like, crazy. They just played the same guys, basically, and gave them the same... They gave those guys all of the touches. Like, I think Kyron Williams, when he was healthy, played, like, 80% of the snaps as a running back. Their top three receivers basically played all the snaps, and they had one fourth receiver that would occasionally rotate in, but that was it. Like, they didn't rotate other than that. And then they had one tight end that would play like 70, 80% of the snaps. And that's basically how they did things. And I think that's what the Falcons are going to do too. And that means that Kyle Pitts has to be an impactful player, because while I think we all really like the Darnell Mooney signing and what that can bring, and we'll see what type of role they have in store for him, whether that's mostly as sort of a versatile deep threat, or if he's going to play more of a well-rounded role. I think he's capable of being more than a deep threat. This isn't like a Scotty Miller sort of situation, but we'll see how much they're going to get him involved. Kyle Pitts, I think, needs to be like the number two guy, because as much as I do like Darnell Mooney and his ability, I think it would probably be a disservice to sort of try to make him like a top threat on this offense. I think he's probably best as the third guy, and that means we need Kyle Pitts to be the second guy. We don't even need Kyle Pitts to be the number one. I think that could be possible given his talent, if he's healthy. But I think the Falcons need Kyle Pitts to be a primary target. Like, they can't just have him be like a guy that occasionally has a good game. And like, Kyle Pitts needs to be a piece that opposing defenses have to plan around, a guy that like teams change their defensive strategy to account for Kyle Pitts. I think that's what the Falcons need him to be, to unlock everyone else in this offense and keep teams from just putting everything on Drake London and you know, daring the team to throw bombs to Darnell Mooney. Like, they need Kyle Pitts to be that other guy. So I think he's one of the most important pieces to fall into place for this Falcons offense to reach the heights that I think they could be capable of under Kirk Cousins. But what do you think about Kyle Pitts in 2024, Aaron? Can you hear me, Aaron?
Aaron's on mute. Aaron's on mute. Oh, okay. Classic Zoom meeting.
Yeah. Classic.
Zoom meeting with
Steve. I was like, unmute yourself. You then I completely forgot about it. But no, what I was saying was, yeah, I think you nailed it, Kevin. They need Kyle Pitts to be that guy that defense is game plan for. And, you know, I think I'm very optimistic about him being that guy because of my expectation is that he'll be used more like what you see most tight ends get used like, which is a lot more underneath targets than the sort of vertical deep throws that are the low percentage throws to throw down the field. And that's really how the Falcons have tried to utilize Kyle Pitts these last couple of years. And like, I just look at a player like TJ Hockenson in a similar offense in Minnesota as someone that I think the Falcons can steal from, because if you go back to last season when Justin Jefferson missed like those six games or whatever, TJ Hockenson was the number one in that offense, not Jordan Addison, right? He was getting the bulk of the target. So they were funneling the offense through him. But as you said, Kevin, I think Drake London's going to be the guy that you can funnel the offense through. But if Kyle Pitts is good enough to be sort of the 1B to his 1A, you know, similar to what the Falcons had when Julio and Roddy were cooking, or when Julio and Ridley were at their heights, that's how you produce, you know, this sort of elite offense that I think we're all sitting here hoping that we can see back in Atlanta for the first time in, you know, several years. And so, yeah, I do agree with you. I think Kyle Pitts is one of those players that needs to be not only impactful as a pass catcher, but also not be a liability as a run blocker too, because of what you said, Kevin, with him getting a lot of the snaps, which means he's going to put his hand in the dirt. And, you know, if you've read some of the quotes from Zach Robinson and others in the building, like, they expect Kyle Pitts to kind of do more of that stuff this year. So I think, similar to, as Adnan may recall, talking about Tony Gonzalez, right? You know, Tony Gonzalez wasn't a great blocker, but he was just getting away long enough and let Michael Turner do all the rest. Yeah. So that worked very effectively, and that's kind of what you want to see from Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier in this year's offense, at least in the run game.
Hey, yeah. Devontae Freeman just got in the way in 2016.
Can we die? Okay, this is the dead zone. I don't want to actually die. Okay.
Sometimes you just, that's all you need to do. Sometimes you just get in the way. Just,
you know. Yeah. Thank you. You should have put up a trigger warning before you said that one.
But, seriously. Too soon. Too soon.
No, that's a good point. And yeah, they're going to expect him to block. And I think that Kyle Pitts is willing to do it. Kyle Pitts wasn't healthy, so you don't know exactly how much it is. But if you're already not healthy and you're already not necessarily being featured like the way you want, and they're like, now go out and block a bunch too, it's like, it's not great for me. I'm not feeling good. Like, it is what it is. Like, I personally don't think that there was an effort issue on Kyle Pitts' part. I still don't believe that. I think he was just unhealthy. And if you look at it, like, he actually graded out really well as a pass blocker. Like, he was actually very solid as a pass blocker. He didn't do it a ton, you know, but as a pass blocker, he was graded out solidly. So, you know, maybe that's just more of his forte. You know, he does have size, and that helps, but they're not going to be asking him to take on defensive ends or something like that. Like, they're going to be asking him to probably get out on the move. Probably maybe he might be blocking from the slot more. You know, we'll see how they sort of draw it up. Because the Falcons did also sign Charlie Werner, and they gave him enough of a contract that you're sort of expecting Charlie Werner to play a fair amount. I mean, he didn't sign a backup contract. He signed a contract to be a blocking tight end, a primary blocking tight end. So, you know, I do wonder how much we'll see Kyle Pitts as like a slot option with Charlie Werner lined up in line. But I do think at the times that they want to run three true receivers, that Kyle Pitts is going to be expected to block sometimes. And I think he'll be fine at it. I don't ever think he's going to be this mammoth blocker. He's not going to be George Kittle. You know, George Kittle, I think, has long held the reins of the most impressive all-around tight end in the NFL, and I don't really think he's had a serious challenger in some time for that role. You know, as good as Kelce is as a receiver, he's not the best run blocker either. I mean, it just is what it is. Sometimes the specialists are great at what they do, but I'm expecting a lot from Kyle Pitts this year, and I think we're going to see that come to fruition. I think, you know, the people that have sort of already written off Kyle Pitts as just being a bust are going to reevaluate that stance after this year. I don't know that we're going to be talking about him as like, oh, was he actually worth the fourth overall pick? Because, I mean, it would be hard for him to live up for that unless he was literally the best tight end in the NFL. So that, maybe that's a stupid conversation anyway. But I think we're going to come out of this season with there not being much of a question about him being one of the best tight ends in the NFL as a receiver. I think as a blocker, that's much more up for debate. But I think he'll be much closer to best tight end than sort of like, is he even like really like a good starter, which I think is a ridiculous question. But, you know, we'll see. 1 year could change a lot. I mean, a lot of people thought Nico Collins was a bust until this year. So, you know, it just, all you got to do is just get a quarterback and it's amazing what happens to you. You know, it's crazy how that matters in the NFL. You know, but yeah, I'm excited to see what Kyle Pitts can do this year. Adnan, you got any other guys you want to bring up tonight?
I mean, we've kind of hit on Bijan Robinson. Yeah, let's talk about Bijan Robinson while we're at it.
We could talk about Bijan Robinson. Yeah.
I mean, he'll have a lot of touches. He will be a fantasy football player's dream. It won't be a lot of that. It won't be what we saw last year where it's all right, we'll get inside the 10, we'll get inside the 5, and then, you know, in comes Tyler Algier. You know, no disrespect to Tyler Algier, but, you know, Bijan Robinson went top 10 for a reason. And, yeah, the thing about the Rams is it wasn't just Kyren Williams. Remember, the thing that Sean McVay, and I think, you know, by extension, Zach Robinson, we'll see what Zach Robinson's style is. But if it's anything like Sean McVay's, is he was a bell cow running back type coach. Like, you know, to me, it's like him and Mike Tomlin are the two, like, coaches where it's like, all right, they have one running back, and they're going to ride that running back. And, I mean, Mike Tomlin, it didn't really happen last year as much because Najee Harris just completely, like, slowed down, and Jalen Warren was much more efficient. But, you know, Mike Tomlin before, like, the last couple of years, you know, remember Cam Akers a couple of years ago down the stretch was the guy that they were just riding. At one point, it was like Daryl Henderson. It's Todd Gurley, obviously, a few years ago had an MVP like type campaign, and, you know, had a number of really elite seasons. We're gonna get see that type of usage with Bijan Robinson, I think, this year, and as long as Zach Robinson is here for. And I mean, yeah, he's gonna be the guy where this offense can truly strike a lot of fear in a lot of defensive coordinators' hearts, because, you know, if Kyle Pitts bounces back, you know, and then you have Drake London, both of them on the outside, you can't really get, you know, it's a pick your poison type thing with the passing game, and then you can't really stack the box against Bijan Robinson either, because you have Kirk Cousins who will slice and dice you, and if you do want to put two on Drake or you want to put two on Kyle Pitts, you know, the box is going to be a bit lighter. And yeah, I mean, Bijan Robinson is, you know, I think going to take his spot among the elite running backs in the NFL this year. And he's going to, you know, he should be going, I think, second in fantasy football drafts after Christian McCaffrey. But, you know, that's a preference type thing. And, I mean, he's going to be a weapon in the receiving game. I think last year they asked him to do a bit much when it came to being a wide receiver. Like, you know, just as a rookie running back, you know, any running back, it's sort of difficult to, you know, be asked to be like a de facto like slot wide receiver as well. So I think this year they're going to utilize him as a wide receiver, but they're not going to get too cute with it the way that we saw Arthur Smith get cute with a lot of stuff on offense. It's going to be a, when they do use him, he brought up Christian McCaffrey. They're going to utilize him the way that Niners sort of utilized Christian McCaffrey, maybe not as much as a wide receiver, because I think McCaffrey is a bit of a better wide receiver, but Bijan's going to get Bijan's going to get a lot of touches, and he's going to be really, really good this year. He's going to rack up a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns. And, yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a very multi-dimensional and multifaceted offense. And if everything is working, it's going to be a really fun year on offense.
Yeah, I think so. I'm looking forward to see Bijan get to play on a team that's more balanced. And like, you know, if you look at the snap counts, you'll see like Bijan just drastically more snaps than Tyler Allgeier. And that might make you think that like he was just dominating the touches like on the ground. And it's actually very untrue. Bijan only had, I think, like, I don't know, 30 more run snaps than Tyler Allgeier over the course of the season. Where he had the snap advantage was he played almost all of the receiving snaps. Allgeier didn't really play a lot in the receiving game. So most of the snap disparity came from Bijan being in on passing plays, which is good. It's just like, you know, they didn't really commit to Bijan as a runner. And I think that just the overuse of outside zone was a part of it. We all know that. We're not going to rehash it tonight. But I do think that Bijan could benefit from some of the versatile run game stuff that the Rams have started doing. You know, the Rams like to run a lot of duo. They like to mix in more power stuff. And in fact, last year, I think the Rams were one of the most balanced run games in terms of not only running inside and outside, but also running power versus zone scheme runs. They basically opened up their run game and made it very, very interesting, very versatile. And it paid off in a big way with Kyren Williams having an awesome season. So I think that's definitely something I'm looking for the Falcons to do as well outside of Bijan, is just diversify the run game and let him have some opportunities to just hit the hole and go north-south. Don't make him just always run left-right. I mean, you've seen Bijan juke in these like tiny spaces. Like, he can be so dangerous on those power runs too if he gets comfortable running them, where he's like, he just has to juke out a middle linebacker and then it's daylight. So you know, so I'm excited to see that too. Yeah, Aaron, any final thoughts on Bijan or anyone else you want to touch on before we sign off tonight?
Yeah, no, I generally agree with both you guys. I think Bijan has if Drake London's going to have that special type of year in the air, I think Bijan has the opportunity to have a special type of year on the ground. And you know, hopefully can have kind of a Ty Gurley like season that, you know, Adnan was mentioning earlier, where he was like offensive player of the year and whatnot. So that would be a welcome sight here in Atlanta to be able to, again, going back to the earlier point, like having that sort of guy that everybody in the building knows is going to get the football. And it's like, well, good luck stopping it. Cause that's what having the best players in the league is like. And, you know, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I miss watching Julio every Sunday. It was fun. I think we took it for granted. And it would be nice to see that again back here in Atlanta, especially on offense.
Yeah, no, absolutely it would. And I think the Falcons, I think it's almost like, you know, Kirk Cousins, everyone's like, oh, Kirk Cousins here. And it's like all the attention's on Drake London. I'm going to do an episode about Falcons fantasy football players to target coming out real soon. You know, little teaser here, but Drake London's, all the hype is on Drake London, like, and obviously Bijan. You know, that one's obvious. Like, Bijan's the RB2 in drafts going in the top 10. And then I think Drake London's the wide receiver 10, but he's going in like the top 13 of a lot of drafts. So it's like, and that's not super flex, obviously. If it's super flex, you had some quarterbacks in there too. But it's pretty wild that everyone is basically 100% in on Drake London. But everyone else in the passing game is basically like an afterthought. I mean, Kyle Pitts is tight end 6. Which I actually think that's the guy you probably want to target. Like, he's, because tight end 6 for Kyle Pitts, when you've been drafting him as tight end 3, tight end 4, and stuff like that.
The thing about, like, Kyle Pitts is he's burned a lot of people in fantasy football the last couple of years, and there's a lot of hurt feelings when it comes to Kyle Pitts.
But it might work for us. Does it ever work out for them? You know, no, but it might work out for us. So, and Darnell Mooney's basically free, and might as well throw a dart at him, you know, you can cut him after a couple weeks if he doesn't catch anything. It's basically a 15th round pick at this point. So
that'll be a fun dart throw, honestly. It's one of those,
Not in our leagues, you know, let me take him, but you guys in your other leagues for sure. Yeah.
I mean, Darnell Mooney, they didn't pay Darnell Mooney that money to like not play him.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to be out on the field a lot. Like, he's going to be on the field a lot. And that's a guy where I'll absolutely look into taking him in the 14th, 15th round. And, you know, if God forbid, you know, anything happens where one of these top guys has to miss a game or two, Mooney will, you know, step in and be a, you'll be a very top target.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So it's going to be an interesting offense. I do think, you know, Drake London's maybe like slightly overrated just because from a value standpoint, like you're drafting Drake London like pretty close to his ceiling, wide receiver 10. There's just so many good receivers. Like even if he hits what you expect, it's like getting above wide receiver 10. It's a tall order. But like, yeah, I would focus on the other guy. Bijan, I get it. You know, top bell cow running backs, just not that many. So, I mean, I wouldn't hesitate to take Bijan either, yeah. But
what happened to the game I love, you know, right? 15 years ago, there was you could be picking eighth and you would get a really nice bell cow running back. Yeah. It's yep. Woke football. It's yeah, woke it's, football.
What have they done? Yeah.
It's these committees and you know, it's just ruining the game. It's ruining the football that I grew up on.
Yeah. Yeah. We did have a couple, comments here, a couple tips want to get to real quick. Thank you, Shaquavius Scott, for the $4.99. Appreciate you. He says, if Bergeron could be sort of like what Andy Levitre was for us, would that be ideal? Yeah, I mean, Andy Levitre was very good, very reliable guard for the Falcons for many years. It's just like getting Andy Levitre, but like 5 years younger. So, and a lot cheaper, too. So, you know, I mean, yeah, absolutely. If he could be Andy Levitre, that would be sweet. No complaints here one way or the other. I think Bergeron could be better long-term than Andy Levitre in terms of like the amount of time he can spend in Atlanta. But yeah, I mean, I think they would love that. No question. And I know Corey is a little bit upset with Arthur Blank, quote, placing himself in the Ring of Honor and thinks that he might be stealing the moment from Matt. I guess I would push back on that a little, Corey. I don't think Blank decides who goes in the Ring of Honor. It's not, I think it's technically like the team president and like the committee that does. Now, it would be naive to think that Blank has no input on who goes in the Ring of Honor. It's his team. But technically, like, he doesn't vote on himself going in. So that's probably not entirely accurate to say that. But like, in terms of stealing the spotlight from Ryan, I mean, the Falcons have done multiple two-person classes. So this isn't like this is the first time this has happened. And it's two different games they'll be inducted at. So I think Blank's getting inducted in like week 3. And then Ryan's getting inducted in week 5.
Blank chose the Chiefs game for himself. Or, you
know, on national TV, yeah.
That was a big mistake there.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't have gotten one of those, like, you know, homecoming type games where, you know, it's someone much, much weaker.
Yeah. No, like,
the Panthers game.
Right. Well, at least I think they gave, you know, Ryan a winnable game at home, you know, for him to be inducted at. Yeah. I think they're expecting that to be a big win. So if anything, you know, Blank fell on the sword to take the Chiefs game. But I'm not too concerned about that. I think it's kind of overblown. you know, I don't, and like, let's be honest, like you can disagree with many of the things Blank has done, but he's absolutely one of the biggest positive influence on this Falcons team since he's taken over. I mean, I think objectively speaking, like, it's been far from perfect. I mean, it would have been nice to have a Super Bowl. I think Blank didn't have anything to do with them not winning that Super Bowl, to be clear. I think he did everything he could to set them up for that. But, you know, under his like leadership, this team has become an actual team that's been talked about in the NFL and not been a complete afterthought. Before, like, don't forget, like, before he took over, this team was, it was real bad for a real long time. So we've seen this team come around. I think he deserves to be in the Ring of Honor. The timing is a little bit interesting, but I mean, again, it's like, I'm not too concerned about it. It doesn't bother me. If it bothers you, that's totally fine. I'm not going to lose any sleep over Arthur Blank also being in the Ring of Honor. I think he was going to be in one way or another, pretty soon. But yeah, the way they inducted Ryan, I love that. That was so cool. And Ryan, like, absolutely needs to be like a speechwriter or something, because that was some inspiring stuff. And he didn't even know he was getting an award afterwards. Like, he just I don't know if he just like improvised that whole thing like on the spot, or like if he wrote it out. I mean, he certainly didn't have any notes in front of him. So impressive stuff, Ryan. Very impressive stuff there. So, you know, me thinks maybe that line about, I don't really want to get into coaching, you know, thou dost protest too much, Ryan. Like, you're going to give a banger speech like that and then say you don't want anything to do with coaching, you know? Oh no, don't call me with any coaching offers, guys. You know, I couldn't do that. But he also might just want a few years of peace, which I could respect that.
Yeah. And I mean, with Blank, it's, if my count is correct, in the 35 years before he, you know, took over, before he bought the team from 66 through 01, the team had eight winning seasons is what I saw. Since he took over in 2002, so it's been, 22 years, they've had nine, or they've had one more winning season than they had pre him. Blank deserves to be in the Ring of Honor. Like, no matter what you think about, you know, some of the decisions or, you know, lack of decisions or whatever, he's easily been the best owner that this franchise has had. I know that's not a very high bar. Like, it's not a very high bar at all, but I feel like it's overdue that he did get into that Ring of Honor. It's just, the memes were really funny though. Like, someone posted that picture of Obama putting a medal over Obama, and it's like, oh, this is Arthur Blank. But yeah, it was definitely overdue. And I mean, Matt Ryan, let's be honest, they would have put him in the Ring of Honor last year if we weren't keeping up this charade that he could have gone back to the NFL to make the Colts keep paying him that money. He was never going to come back last season, but, you know, he had to, you know, keep up the illusion that he could. But yeah, Matt Ryan, absolutely, for sure. The Falcons don't technically retire any numbers, but I don't think anyone's ever really going to wear number two again. The same way that we don't see anyone wear number 10 outside of, you know, that being assigned as a training camp number to undrafted free agents and two guys who, you know, probably will not make the roster. Same probably with number 11, with Julio, and Julio will definitely also enter the Ring of Honor when he officially retires. But yeah, it's cool. It's cool paying respect to the legends, and it's going to be really, really cool seeing that on week five. But yeah, if I was Arthur Blank, I would have definitely, you know, sort of chimed in on the game where they would induct me on the Ring of Honor, because yeah, imagine losing like by 17 at the half, and it's like, okay,
okay, we're gonna trot out Arthur Blank now. that could be problematic. Could be, yeah. Or maybe they're beating the Chiefs, and then he gets to really, you know, celebrate it. You know, I guess we'll see. But guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Falcoholic Live, episode 291. We have got basically an entire month. I believe they've announced the report date for training camp is the 24th of July. So we've got another month to go. until we get any real substantive news to talk about here on the show. But we'll be bringing you lots of good content. Like I said, I'm working on a fantasy primer for your fantasy leagues, for our Patreon fantasy leagues even. You know, you can take the information and use it against us in the fantasy leagues if you guys sign up on our Patreon or on the YouTube channel memberships. How about that plug? But we got that going. We'll, of course, do the defensive part of this series next week on Falcoholic Live. We're going to have our newest writer over at the Falcoholic, Mel Johnson, joining us. Look forward to that. Get to talk to him. Excited for that. And we will, of course, have some more preview stuff, have some roster preview type pieces, shows going on, because I'll be taking a vacation in July for a couple weeks, you know, give or take. So I'll have plenty of shows up for you guys during that little break, but there won't really be any news to talk about anyway. So, you know, but until then, guys, I want to thank our guest tonight, Aaron Freeman at Locked On Falcons. Aaron, thank you so much for coming on once again. Anything you want to let the people know about before we sign off?
Well, check out Locked On Falcons daily, Monday through Friday on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely. Check it out.
There was a reason you do that daily, even in June, huh?
You got to – I spread out the draft stuff so far. Like, I won't get to Zion Logue until, like, 4th of July. So that's really the key to the secret. You just
– yeah.
Hey, we're going to be talking about the draft picks in late – the day three guys in late June.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, Lockdown can't even be like, all right, you know what, it's June. You can go down to, like, three shows a week instead of five.
No.
I mean, we get 3 weeks of that in July, but that's it.
Yeah, okay. Well, at least there's something. Yeah, but that's a lot of content. That's why I said Aaron is the content master. He's like, he's learned the arts of just the magic of spreading content out for multiple weeks.
Sometimes we do this like once a week and it's like, all right, what are we going to do? What are we going to talk about this week when it's like July, like pre-training camp?
Yeah. You just mad shout out to Aaron, you know, for what he does over there. That's tough work. That's tough work for sure. And shout out, of course, to my co-host Adnan Igic at Say Which Way for helping me come up with content to spread out over the Dead Zone as well. Adnan, anything that you'd like to let the people know about?
Well, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, plug the Falcoholic and, you know, just plug our, you know, we also have a lot of ideas over at thefalcoholic.com that you have to go to the website to see how we're filling our dead period with those ideas, which I will not tell you right now. You have to check it out on thefalcoholic.com.
Got to earn that one, yeah. But check it out, guys. Thanks for watching. I'm Kevin Knight of Falcoholic. Kevin, please like, subscribe. Leave that 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. We will be back next Wednesday with some make or break Falcons on defense in 2024, which I think is kind of equally interesting in terms of the guys that we're going to be talking about there. Definitely a lot more question marks, I think, on the defensive side than the offensive side. So I think it'll be an interesting one to get into. Thanks again for joining us. We'll be back, like I said, then. Until then, have a great night, folks. Thanks for tuning into the Falcoholic Live. We'll see you next time. See ya.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.